Hi, this is Tada Gasawara. It's July 16th, 2023. Mobile News Podcast 466 with my friend John Westfall. And we're a little bit confused because we decided to try, you know, if only we had technologists to discuss this with.
Experiments in different audio recording.
Yeah.
We are recording this over FaceTime, which looks a lot better than Teams, at least from a video quality perspective for me, but
yeah.
Who knows about audio?
Yeah, so, and originally we were going to try to use Google Meet, but then I found out I could not use Audio Hijack or other third-party tools to record Google Meet. Now, Google Meet does have a recording facility, but you either need to have the commercial version or you need to have Google One at the 2 terabyte subscription level. And then I think you got to pay an extra $10 a month in addition to the, or I forget if it's included. But at any rate, I don't need 2 terabytes of Google Drive. I have 200 gigabytes and that's lots for me. So, and because this is a for fun podcast, we don't have, you know, advertisers. If anybody would like to advertise, we would take it and maybe upgrade. So Google Meet was out. I did try using it with Audio Hijack. I think the problem is Google Meet is a, on the Mac at least, it's web only. There's no app. And so I could only record one side of the conversation and testing. Okay, so then we tried, well, FaceTime. And we tried FaceTime recording, but that only recorded one side of the conversation too, recorded me. And if we're clever, we could just record, you know, our own side and then mash it up together, but we're not that clever. And also I'm too lazy to do that. So what we're doing is we're doing FaceTime with Audio Hijack, and I had some volume leveling problems, so we'll see how this sounds after we finish it. We did like half a dozen tests, so it's not like we're just throwing this out into the world without trying it. I've got volume set at 176% in Audio Hijack, trying to get my volume. John always sounds fine. It's really odd. And the reason we're trying this is because we've had so many problems with, well, with everything, not, but all, you know, we've used Teams for a long time now. I've been using Skype for a long time, and Teams is getting a little flaky, or has gotten a little flaky over the last year, especially. And so we're trying this. Now, the downside to this solution is it works well for John and me because we both use Apple products. But if we have any friends who do not use Apple products, Mac or iOS, iPadOS, then we'll have to switch back to something else. So Google Meet would have been better.
Try the sharing link feature.
Yeah.
Because I think that does work for non-Apple products. I think
really?
Anyone with a web browser can use the share one.
For FaceTime?
Sure. Yes.
Interesting. Yes, we should try that. I don't know anybody. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. I know people without Apple. I also turned on transcription, John, by the way, just for yuck, so I can see. It doesn't keep the transcription. It only shows the last couple of sentences, by the way.
Well, if it's like our previous experience with live transcription via Microsoft, it will start soon to go off the rails.
That was hilarious.
Who knows what it will show up.
We should note to the our fives of listeners that situation that you just mentioned happened about 15 years ago now?
Yeah, and it's still a problem, which is kind of interesting. When you watch live video that has, you know, all you have to do is watch a local news broadcast where they don't have someone actually typing out closed captioning. They're just doing it on the fly. And
yeah,
we'll see some really interesting interpretations of the
Or
whatever language I'm sure you're interested of that that language.
You should try Hawaiian street names. That's about the, well, let's try this one, for example, Leaky Leaky Highway, and see what does. Oh, it's not even trying.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as ours. That's what you say.
Okay. Anyhow, so that's our adventures with that. The reason why we're having an adventure is to have an alternative to Microsoft Teams because of its, what we're seeing as flakiness, which is too bad because Teams have added a lot of features over the last 6 months or so, you know, including calendar meetings and all kinds of stuff. And it does work with any platform, I think, except maybe Linux. Well, actually, no, you could do it via web, so even Linux. It should be able to run in Linux, too. But that said, it's. I hope the sound's okay when we get the finished product, because I'm still not so sure I've got enough volume level on this thing. Okay, next thing I wanted to mention is, you know, so I am not an actor or a TV writer, but I have been following closely since I do watch TV shows. Not so much on TV anymore, mostly on my iPad, but, you know, still. And one of the things that really interested me was the the concerns that the writers have, well, both of them have. The writers have a different concern. The writers have with AI-written scripts, and actors are concerned with basically AI-generated images or likenesses of themselves. And in fact, I think extras have to sign away their likeness and only get paid for one day's work for something that might be used forever. This kind of reminds me, it's not AI, but you know, do you know about the Wilhelm scream?
Yes.
So the Wilhelm scream was a scream done, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago, probably maybe more. And it's been used hundreds of times in all kinds of films because it's a great scream. I think you can hear it in Indiana Jones and Star Wars and all kinds of stuff. But can you imagine doing a day's work and you get paid, I don't know, $200, and then you appear in thousands of, you know, TV series or film or episodes or films later, and you never get paid another dime. So I can see that concern. But since I'll never be an actor, that won't directly affect me. It'll be all indirect, you know, shows I watch, and I feel badly for the people who get kind of ripped off from their point of view, at least. Although I'll never write a TV script either, you know, having done some just writing, mostly technical, how good is the writing? And apparently some people have been experimenting with writing stories based on, you know, known universes. And I haven't tried that yet, but I did ask it. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to try to replace John. So every John, what day of the week do you do that, John? Your joke of the week thing, your bad joke of the week?
Saturdays.
Okay, on Saturday. Every Saturday for, I don't know how long I've known John, but every Saturday since we've been on social media, I read one of John's bad jokes, Saturday bad joke. And actually, I laugh, so they're not very bad.
But, so the bad joke for this last week was the waiter asked me, do you want a box for your leftovers? I said, sure, and knocked him out with a left hook. That was bad joke 568.
So that's like 10 years.
Bad joke Saturday has been going on since February 23rd, 2013.
Wow.
So, yes, a little over 10 years, Bad Joke Saturday has been posted. And if you're curious why all that, it's because there is a spreadsheet I am looking at right now that has Bad Joke Saturday from 2013. And we're scheduled up through December 16th of this year.
Well,
I'll probably do some more compiling soon.
And for those of you who don't realize it by now, the good Dr. Westfall is indeed a nerd. There's no doubt about it, I'm sure. Okay, so what happens if John just decides to stop writing his bad jokes one day and I need a bad joke on a Saturday? So I asked Bing, actually. I went to Bing's, you know, chat, GPT-based chat. And I said, write a joke about podcasting. So here's the joke. It says, sure, here's one for you. Why did the podcast host go to the dentist? To get his Bluetooth fixed. Now, I chuckled at that when I first read it. I chuckled.
It's worse than most of my bad jokes Saturday.
It is not as good. So I'm thinking that, given that people are not very discerning, that might be good enough for most people. And I can see why the writers are worried. It doesn't have to be great, right? It has to be acceptable. And
well, I am thinking about how I asked it to write a complaint letter in rhyme.
That's a good one.
Without problem. So, yeah, there's some worries that I think are well-founded here.
Yeah. And by the way, there, aside from, you know, serving as a possible replacement for John's weekly Saturday bad jokes, I'm a big fan of various late-night shows. You know, Seth Meyers and Jimmy Kimmel and all those kind of folks. And I've kind of missed their nightly, you know, monologues and so forth. And that's why I asked it to write a joke. Quite frankly, it's not going to replace a good kind of comedy writer, I don't think. But hey.
Well, considering that I just asked Bing Chat to write a joke about you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Do I want to hear it?
So it's in the show notes if you want to take a look. It's not a very good joke either, but it is interesting that it was able to figure out who you were on the fly and pull out a joke about you.
That's not a good joke at all, but you may read it on since you had it generated.
What do you call Tyler Gosselaar when he's using his smartphone, his Mac, and his camera at the same time? A multitasking MVP.
See, nobody would understand that. And also, I'm not an MVP
anymore. Because Bing didn't search you, so think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I am not too.
Yeah, so far. If Bing were going to roast me, so far I'm not too worried.
Well, let's see. I asked it to write a clever limerick about you, but it's still working on it.
But in any case, I just...
A man named Tom to play with his iPod. He also likes Max and taking some snaps and sharing his skills on his blog. That's actually a...
I kind of like that. I actually rather like that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I am. It's not particularly funny, but it's actually pretty accurate. And let's see, does it say liked or loved? Okay, it's past tense, good, because, you know, nobody has an iPod anymore. By the way, speaking of that, that brings us to another topic. I'm going to skip around a bit, a little out of order in our notes. And that's something I was hoping I'd have access to today before our podcast, but I don't. And that's Google's Notebook LM, one word. And I guess the LM is large language model. Or not large language model, but just language model. Notebook LM, one word, no spaces, no hyphen. It used to be called Project Tailwind. And I think it was discussed at Google I.O. And there is now a kind of a waiting list sign-up process available. So I signed up about a week ago. And like I said, I was hoping that it'd be available for me to test now. Because let me just read off what it is for the people who don't remember what Project Tailwind is. Or Notebook LM is. It says, Notebook LM is an experimental product designed to use the power and promise of language models paired with your existing content to gain critical insights faster. Think of it as a virtual research assistant that can summarize facts, explain complex ideas, and brainstorm new connections, all based on the sources you select. A key difference between Notebook LM and traditional AI chatbots is that Notebook LM lets you ground your language model in your notes and sources. Source grounding effectively creates a personalized AI that is versed in information relevant to you. As of starting today, you can ground Notebook LM in specific Google Docs that you choose, and we'll be adding additional formats soon. So my interest is in this beta is that, you know, you and I, John, we have literally hundreds of Google Doc notes, show notes. I mean, literally hundreds. They're not large documents, but when you take a couple hundred documents, it adds up to a bit of content. And I was really curious to have it go in and maybe summarize what we talk about every year, mm-hmm. Or what did we talk about? I don't exactly know the extent of its capabilities, but I'd like to be able to ask, what topic did we talk about most in 2022 or 2012 or whatever? And, have a way for it to go through. And we could do it by hand, but that's tedious and not a lot of fun. So folks who want to, I'll put a link in the show notes that you can click on and go sign up. I check my Google Mail every day hoping that it will and tell me you're ready to roll. But so far, nothing.
It will be interesting. We could also run it through other, older forms of these sorts of things, and thinking about qualitative data now. Scripts and things like that.
Yeah.
See how well they match up.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So it's one of the things I'm looking forward to. And I guess I still don't know what the status of Microsoft Copilot for Office is. I think you need to have an enterprise license to use it. I can't remember. But I'll go and check when we, for our next podcast, Copilot, Office. Let's see. Is it ready? No, I think it's, Copilot Microsoft 365 currently available in limited private preview. Okay, so not yet, as of June 1st last month. So that's something else we have to wait on also. But all of these things, I'm sort of curious to have it, look at stuff. The other thing for other interesting is something John and I mentioned the other week is that, with Apple's personal voice becoming available with iOS 17. I don't see it in my iOS 17 beta 3, by the way. Or maybe I didn't look the right place. But with personal voice, maybe we could just say, do a summary podcast and read it in my voice and record it. So,
well, I was thinking about personal voice this week because I was telling a colleague about it. We were at a coffee shop and I said, this could be a really cool feature for when you're working in a coffee shop and someone wants to jump on a voice call with you or a video call, and you don't particularly feel like speaking out loud in front of, in a busy environment, you just type out your responses and they can still hear you on the there are some there are some things that I think Apple hadn't thought about that might become very good power tools with First Phone Voice and the accompanying feature to do text.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because what year is it? Almost 30 years ago, I learned something very interesting. At the time, I was working as a software engineer for a large telephone company for the old GTE, which was absorbed by Bell Atlantic into Verizon. And there was the possibility of a strike by the union members. And so they had people who are not union, who are exempt employees, train to take over some of their functions, which quite frankly, I thought was impossible. But I was trained to be a telephone operator. And as a final part of training, they made us go live for 1 hour. That strike had not happened, by the way. So this was all, you know, non-essential in the sense that, you know, I really wasn't needed on to be an operator, but just give me some live airtime. And one of the things I found out was that when you call, and this is, again, nearly 30 years ago, so this is before, you know, cell phones and online directories, and people still needed to look up phone numbers. And so I was taking in collect calls from prisoners, calling their, you know, their family, friends, whoever, who would accept the collect call. And one of the many things I learned, aside from how interesting that is all by itself and difficult sometimes, many times, is that when you dial something like 411 for information in the U.S. and you hear an operator say, "Hi, this is Todd," you know, or "Hi, this is, you know, XYZ telephone company. My name is Todd. How can I help you?" That is not that person speaking. It's a recorded version of their voice. They've got a couple of phrases. They've got a little push keypad in front of them. And so while they're finishing up the last call, they can start the incoming call by doing the greeting. And by the time the greeting is done, they've hung up on the, you know, finished on the last call, and they're ready to take your question. So, you know, a very early use of not exactly what Apple is providing, personal voice, but it's the way that the phone companies used to handle all of that. So I thought
that reminds me a lot of the advice that they give people for quiz shows like Jeopardy and things like that, where you don't buzz in when you know the answer, you buzz in when you know that you. And by the time that you're called on, your brain has gotten the answer and you can respond. But you don't do it when you actually have the answer in your head. It's when your brain goes, "I know that." Then you buzz in. And by the time, yeah, that's an interesting example of how your brain works. Your brain can recognize knowledge that you know before it can actually figure out what it is. So like, that's in the file somewhere. I'll just go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Start your queue process now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what's happening with that thing. And I, you know, as I said, I'm really looking forward to playing. I'm really hoping I can use it for something like that. I suspect not. I suspect that's out of its scope of functions, but I like to think it'd be kind of fun to do. We will see. Let's see. Okay. So that's that. And, oh, the next thing I wanted to mention or wanted to discuss with you is, you know, John, of course, knows way more than he wants to about my Doodle a Day project, which has been going on since January 1, 2017. Stability AI has something called Stable Doodle. And it turns your, well, as Gizmodo said in their article, and I'll put a link to Gizmodo. Gizmodo says, "Stable Doodle turns your dumbest scribbles into off-putting AI," which I think is kind of a backhanded compliment, but I guess,
yeah.
A back AI art. It's actually not bad. In my opinion, I tried it twice. So the first time I tried it, I scribbled a little drawing with a mouse. And, you know, it's really hard to draw. Well, okay. Other people can do it. I'm not good at it. I have a hard time doodling with a mouse. But I tried, and it put out a very credible output of a little scribble or doodle I did of a rabbit with a mouse. And it's a very bad doodle, even, I will say. So then the next day I thought, you know what? I have an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil too, and I doodle with it every day. So, you know, I know how to use this thing. So I went into this stable doodle, and it was the hardest thing to try to write in its web interface with the Apple Pencil 2. I don't know why. I guess it's just not set up for that. You know, that's not its target device. But I did my best, and it It did a little bit better, although even with a text prompt, I told it I was drawing a Dutch rabbit, which has very distinctive black and white markings. It still didn't do a Dutch rabbit, but the pose is actually very much closer to the doodle with using iPad and Apple Pencil than was using a mouse. So I thought it was kind of a fun experiment. I'm looking forward to what they do. And for people who would like to, you know, create custom, I don't know, personalized artwork and may not feel comfortable drawing, I think this is a fun tool.
Played around with it. I put in our notes, I did a smiley face on it. Did more with the smiley face and tried to. So, yeah, I like this idea. I'm just waiting for us to get an affordable tool that you can throw in your own actual well-done artwork or things like that you can upload and let it work off of. Because right now, anything that does that tends to want to, well, it just strikes me as it tends to want to keep your data in ways I want it to.
Yeah.
Try to trade you for an AI generation of yourself or something like that. So
yeah,
I've held off on that, but I have been using Night Cafe Studio quite a bit, which is an AI art. I've saved a bunch of credits on there.
Yeah.
So I do plan on exploring that more now that I basically have enough credits to probably build whatever I'd ever want on it.
Yeah.
Although it's interesting to see what the winning creations of Night Cafe will actually let you see the prompt. That because they run these weekly or daily challenges,
right?
And so hide the prompts, they don't want you seeing what they put in. But the ones that actually show the prompts,
right,
are really interesting to me because these are not just a sentence, these are a sentence plus a bunch of metadata in a sense in the prompt to tell the algorithm what to do. And so I think when people say, well, how do some people get these great, great things out of AI? How is it that I don't get all this stuff? It's not that you are giving it a rich prompt in terms of content. It's likely you're not giving it a rich prompt in terms of all the metadata that these people are using to really tell it, I want exactly this level of lighting, exactly this type of style.
Wow. That much, huh?
All those things. Yeah. I'll see if I can find one right now. Like I said, most people hide these prompts because they sort of a trade secret in a sense. I don't want people to know how I have gotten it. Right. But I'll take a look at some of them and see if I can find an example that we can share. Although I won't be able to read the example because it's sort of going to be the same problem that you get when you go to a Amazon listing and the product makes absolutely no sense because it's just way too many things. Yeah, so here's one that has sort of what I'm talking about. They have two prompts. Rocky Shoreline, Sad Cosmic Lights is the prompt that makes sense. In a sense, and then there's another prompt that has slightly less weight that is intricate detailed, HDR, beautifully shot, hyper-realistic, sharp focus, 64 megapixels, perfect composition,
wow,
high contrast, cinematic, atmospheric, moody.
Gee.
And so you think, well, gee, that is more than just smiley face.
No kidding.
Or, something else. So I put a link to that one. It is a very nice image, but you would probably not imagine that much went into just creating that image. You would think it was just the first prompt, not the second prompt with all the additional metadata.
Speaking of prompts and our previous topic on AI writing, I just happened to take a look at this. I just happened to had Tech Meme up on my screen, and there's something from MIT Technology Review that says, study, ChatGPT helped writers complete tasks such as writing press releases or reports 40% faster and produce work that assessors scored 18% higher in quality. So now this is not script writing. It's very different kind of writing. But it kind of matches quantitatively what you were mentioning qualitatively in terms of speeding up your writing using these tools, which I think is a good thing, you know?
I have been using AI for the last few to speed up some of my writing, which has been nice, especially with things that are low-hanging fruit that would normally take me 5-10 minutes, so I can speed up to a minute or two. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Okay, let's see. And I guess, let me see, because we're skipping around just to make sure we didn't miss anything before we get to the topic I'm kind of interested in, because I I saw your suggestion about this product that you bought on Amazon, mm-hmm. and I almost bought it, and I didn't pull the trigger because I thought, oh, I have something similar. But looking at what you produced, no, it's not similar. I have a Bluetooth label maker that can do a couple lines and put a couple simple images, black and white images. But yours is, I want to hear more about it.
Yeah, so I bought two things over the last week that were interesting. The one is not too interesting except to me. It was an Apple Watch charger that was $15 that had a built-in battery. And I've bought two of these in the past. And this is the first one. The third time, I guess, is the charm. This is the first one that seems to work. So it was $15.85. So if you've been holding off going, I'm not going to get a portable Apple Watch charger, you can get one now that actually works. Unlike the last, 5 years that I've been looking for one that would actually do the job. Actually, this is the third time. Fourth time's the charm. But anyway, I've been curious about these portable thermal printers that are not just for labels, but you can print photos and things to them. Of course, they're all black and white, and they're not the highest quality, and they last, 5 to 10 years in terms of what they say the ink should last, because it is a thermal printer.
Right.
But I finally pulled the trigger last week and bought a product from Fomemo, P-H-O-M-E-F-O, their M04AS. And it, principally, they have a ton of different versions of these. I like this one because it looked like a little envelope, in a sense. And so I bought it, and I have become a labeling terrorist because the app actually has a lot of, it can do what you would want it to do. It can make labels. It can, you can put in a bit of text. Like I took the limerick that I wrote, or that thing AI wrote, printed it out a little while ago to put it in this notebook. And it can also print photos, not high quality, black and white, but enough sorts of things. And I bought a notebook yesterday that I started kind of keeping notes in where I put some of these little graphics in. It has month and day spreads for dates and such that you can get. But what my wife has noticed that I've been doing now, labeled around the house, and it would be fun to just put the actual words, but instead I'm taking pictures of myself with whatever the item is.
All right.
So our cereal container now has a picture of cereal on it.
I saw that photo you took.
I have a couple others around here, just me doing whatever the item is that the container holds.
Hey, by the way, what price did you get that at during Prime Day?
I didn't actually get it on Prime Day because one did not actually go on Prime Day.
Oh,
so the price that it's at right now, $68.99, the price that I paid for it a week and a half ago before Prime Day was even a glimmer in people's eyes.
Okay, because there were some preview Prime Day sales. I thought maybe it was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, normal price is $98.99, so it's 30% off, which is a a good savings. I am now considering it even as a poor retiree because it looks so useful.
It is. So one of the things that I'm planning on using, I'm planning on taking it to work in the fall and throwing it in my bag because it can do a few useful things. Like, for example, if I have a piece of text I need someone to have, I don't have their phone number or whatever, I can just print it out, give it to them right then and there. I don't have to go to a department printer for it.
Right.
It's sad, but students do not like to Google things that are hard for them to find. So very often I'll find a web page and I'll say, oh, yeah, just Google this. You'll find this page. And they'll go, I don't know if I'll find it. Well, this thing, the software will actually allow you to take a URL, convert it to a QR code, and then print out the QR code. So I'm thinking when I've got that need something and I don't have their text messaging address, or I don't want to send it through LMS or whatever, or multiple people need it,
right,
just make a QR code, print it out, and they can pass it around, scan it, and get whatever they need.
Wow.
It's thermal paper. Just throw it out if you don't want it at the end of it. And plus, I can make random labels to put up on things and practice my label terrorism there. So I see it being useful. The paper is not that expensive. It's a roll, so the roll just goes right in. Most of the papers have adhesive backing on them. You can get different colors. You can get transparent, non-transparent. So I think I could get a lot of use out of this thing. And I charged it once. I haven't had to charge it since. So I've been pretty happy with it.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking, This is a funny, sad story, but it would have been perhaps a good use. Perhaps not. But when I was at work, when I was still working prior to retiring, we had a fella who worked in my group who for the life of, you know, for various reasons, could not remember his cipher lock code. Now, to get into this through this particular door, you needed two things, you know, sort of something you know and something you have. And so you needed an RFID badge, you know, something you have that's unique to you. And you needed a cipher lock code, something you know, which is also unique to you. And he always had his badge, but he didn't always have his memory. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody once telling me, you know, we can see people, we can see the number of attempts per person because, you know, again, unique badge, unique ID, unique code. He tried 30 times. I was thinking, you know, we have a camera there. In addition, you know, so we can see people who do not have a badge and cipher lock code to get in. If we could have maybe just tattooed a QR code on him. It's not a good thing because then if somebody found his badge and found his arm or whatever, you know, they'd be in. But still, just a thought, just a thought. Or maybe a wash-off QR code, you know, so it's not permanent ink. And every month, you know, it takes a month, maybe 2 weeks to wash off or whatever. And every 2 weeks you get a new, you know, temporary. Anyway, just thinking out of the box for people with some memory problems. I actually put that in my shopping cart. So impressed. I haven't pulled the push the buy button yet, but I've put it in my cart. You know, I wanted to mention that charger you bought. It's funny. Not funny. It's a good thing you mentioned it because years ago, I bought an Apple Watch charger. It also did the first generation Apple AirPods, which I do not have, so I can't use it for that. But it does have an Apple Watch charger, and it also has a USB-A output. It's, you know, one of those little portable batteries. And I hardly ever use it because I don't really travel much anymore. I don't travel at all anymore. So, but you saying that reminded me, I need to charge this guy up because we have it was a hurricane, got downgraded to tropical storm. Hopefully it'll be just a tropical depression by the time it comes our way in a couple of days. But, you know, John, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but in our neck of the woods, our electrical infrastructure is so rickety that, you know, basically if you look at it the wrong way, it'll go down. And so I am now charging up my Apple Watch battery charger, USB battery charger, so that in case we lose power for, you know, more than 18, 24 hours, which has happened in this kind of weather, that I will at least be able to see the time of day on my wrist. So thank you for that reminder. In fact, I need to charge up all my chargers and get ready for the storm. Speaking of which, how's your weather over there? You been having any technical or technology-related fun because of the various weather issues and the heat, wind, whatever?
We've been pretty fortunate, although it has been a very, you know, the Mississippi, it's always humid here. But yeah, I find it really funny that this last week I've been going for jogging, and it's 73 degrees or so, but I still come back as I'm jogging drenched in sweat because, you know, I'm jogging. But then I went out for a walk the other night after it had rained, and it was just a regular walk at about 8 o'clock as the sun was going down, and I came back drenched in just as much sweat as if I'd gone for a jog.
Ouch.
It's moist out there, so...
Yeah, when the temperature and humidity are the same, and it's you know, high, it's not a good situation. I asked, by the way, because I know you don't live anywhere near our buddy Don Sorcinelli, who's on the East Coast, but I just saw a message from him this morning. Says, this morning we've had a flash flood watch, a tornado warning, flash flood warning, and a severe thunderstorm warning. So just sort of wondering. I know you're quite a ways away from Don, but just checking in on you. We over here, like I said, we're waiting for, hopefully it'll be, you know, just a tropical depression that doesn't do damage to us. Up in Alaska, which is thousands of miles away, but does affect, they had a 7.2 earthquake this morning, but no, I repeat, no tsunami warning. So yay for that, at least for us. And thanks for that reminder. I really did need to charge my charger, and because it's only got
good.
One blinking light at the moment. I hope it still works. I haven't used it in ages. Alrighty. Well, we will see how this recording goes. I hope it's not too bad. Again, the reason I'm saying that is because instead of using Microsoft Teams, we're using QuickTime. We're using FaceTime. And for some reason, the volume was just not very high in our 6 test recordings. So I put up a volume mount multiplier that Audio Hijack provides and said 176%. Hopefully that handles it. All righty. That is about it. And we'll talk to you next time. Thank you much, Dr. Westfall.
All right. Thank you.